Earlier in the summer, I was at a store here in Clarksville, and I was in line about to check out with my items, and there was a young man that was near me in line, and I noticed that he had his phone with him. And I know what you're thinking. Is Chris eavesdropping on this young man? I'm honest in saying I didn't move over near him. I didn't have to go anywhere. I'm just looking straight up, and he's right there. And I wasn't reading what was on his phone, but I noticed something, and it's something that I want to talk about this evening. Tonight's lesson is a little bit different. I want to address a current phenomenon that is going on in our lives and be mindful of that. So he had his phone, and I noticed that he was flipping between various apps, various notifications, various things, and he was spending maybe 2 seconds at the most on each one. Facebook, Instagram, text, Facebook, TikTok. It's just flipping through them like that, looking at each one and getting that information. And what was interesting about that was, we're talking maybe 2 seconds a piece. 2 seconds a piece, flipping through that. I want to talk a little bit this evening about something a little bit different. I want to talk about what the Bible says about making rash judgments. We live in a culture, and I'm seeing more and more of it, where individuals, because of the technology that we have today, I believe we are conditioning ourselves to want things very, very quickly. And it's affecting our lives. Now, before I go any farther, I want to make it clear that I'm for modern day technology, and I'm glad that we have it in our lives, and I use it a lot in my own personal lives, and I don't have any plans of giving it up. The other day I threw some clothes in the washing machine and then in the dryer. This past trip in Ghana, I was reminded many of our sisters in Ghana are still washing clothes with just a big old tub outside. And they're hanging it out on the line. I just throw my clothes in a washing machine and it's done in a few minutes. You know, there are things involving technology that I'm glad that we have. We have microwaves and we'll heat up a cup of coffee in a minute or so. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how that things are conditioning our mind to act very quickly about things. And it can cause spiritual problems, as I will illustrate later in the lesson. Let's talk about being hasty in spirit. Let's talk about what the Bible says about making rash judgments. Again, it's a little bit different, but it's been on my mind a lot lately that we live in this culture where technology has made things very quick. That can be good and it can be bad. It's fine if we're talking about washing clothes. It's fine if we're talking about microwaving a cup of coffee. But if we're talking about our understanding of God's Word, then we've got a problem. If we're talking about how we're living our personal lives or how we're interacting with other people, that's a problem. Technology and social media is conditioning us to get things very quickly and draw very quick conclusions and very quick judgments. Those judgments may be right, those judgments may be wrong. But things are getting quicker, we know that. Gone are the days of the carrier pigeon. We don't use that anymore. Gone are the days of, you know, the Pony Express. Gone are the days of the Indian smoke signals. You know, we don't use that anymore. We are in the realm of the very quick and the very fast. And again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it could be. And I have seen where it is in some cases. It could be that the younger we are, the more we're affected by this, although adults can be affected by it as well, but I want especially our young people to pay attention this evening because you're definitely growing up in a world that is filled with technology, and that technology is so rapid and so quick that we're conditioning our minds to act in the same way. We want things very, very quick. And we lose attention when it's more than 2 seconds. And my concern is that we're losing the importance of taking our time with regard to studying God's Word. Do we even want to take the time to read a whole chapter? Are we taking the time to do the serious kind of Bible study that we need to do? In many cases, people are not. And so we're conditioning ourselves to want things very rapidly. And the bottom line of tonight's lesson is that in some areas of our life, we simply need to slow down. I'm glad that we have technology that speeds things up in many kinds of ways, but there's other areas of our life where we need to slow down. We need to slow down when it comes to Bible study. We need to slow down when it comes to making judgments about things. And the Bible actually talks about this. I've been guilty of it myself. Maybe you have as well, where we make quick assessments about things and we run with it and we're fine with that. And then we find out later that that was inaccurate. Now, not everything we get on our phone is wrong. I'm not saying that all technology and all social media is wrong and erroneous. I'm not saying that. Much of it is. And we've got to slow down. We've got to slow down. We need to slow down in some areas in our life. Maybe people aren't praying as they should because they just don't want to slow down. Maybe they're not studying and reading their Bible as they should because they just don't want to slow down. We want things so quickly. And I was reminded by looking at that young man, he was seeing whatever he was seeing, and 2 seconds was enough to digest that and then move on to the next thing. When notifications came, popped in at the top of his phone, saw that, pushed it back up, went to the next act, saw the next thing, pushed that up, moved that over. And he's processing all of it. He's not skipping a beat. But what it's doing to us is, it's saying, that's how I want all my life to be. That's how I want all of my information to be. And it can cause a problem. So this evening, we're going to talk about this very thing. We'll get to Acts 19 later in the lesson, but the town clerk had it right. You don't need to do anything rash. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. He had it right. Some of the best advice that could have been given on that particular day when everybody's all stirred up. Great is Diana, God of the Ephesians. Everybody settle down. Do nothing rash. You know, a lot of people are making rash and hasty decisions when it comes to believe about our world. We see news stories. We see political stories. We see all kinds of things going on. We see it on TV. And we immediately make up our mind. Well, that's the way it is. We're deciding what we believe about our country. We're deciding what we believe about our community here in Clarksville. It could be anything. We see something, we hear something, and then we make up our mind about it. Well, that may be true or it may be false. When assessing a person's character, you hear them one time, you see them one time, you're in their presence one time, and you've already made up your mind as to what kind of a person they are. You know, some of this that we're talking about this evening is just simply what we call the golden rule. Would we want somebody to make quick assessments about us? Well, of course not. And yet, oftentimes, people will do that about another person's character. And by the way, the young man with the phone, I'm not going to make any assessment about his character. I'm just reporting to you what he was doing. Maybe there was nothing wrong there. I don't want to be guilty of the very thing that I'm talking about this evening, so I'm not going to make a judgment about his character. But we are around somebody for a very short period of time, as in a few seconds, and we've already assessed what their character is about. People are doing that with regard to their daily activities. Some of them not bad, but some of them that might involve more consequential things, they're making very quick decisions at school or at work or other places. We need to slow down. And this is where it really becomes a problem when people are believing things religiously or spiritually, they're believing what the Bible teaches about this doctrine or this particular practice, and they're making up their mind very quickly about that. I put an article in your box, maybe you've seen it already, about can a person divorce their mate for viewing pornography. If you haven't seen that, I would encourage you to read that. That was brought to my attention earlier this year. A Christian couple is traveling around the country teaching that. Some of you know their names. And what was interesting about that, when it was first given to me, back in the spring or so, I'm not on Facebook, but a friend of mine showed me the Facebook thread where one day that was blowing up on Facebook, that particular topic. And the couple that was teaching it, they were sharing their views about it. But what was interesting about that to me was not only the erroneous position, but when you look at the timestamp on that Facebook thread, there were people weighing in within just a few minutes of each other about Bible matters and Bible words and what verses are teaching. And what was really interesting to me was there were things that were being said that were completely untrue about Bible words that I'm familiar with. And it was all just within just a minute or two. Just boom, 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 boom. Within 20 minutes, over 50 people are weighing in about what the Bible teaches about this and the Bible teaches about that. And there are people saying things about the Greek words and the English words, and much of it is not accurate, and it's all within just a few minutes. We've conditioned ourselves to weigh in on stuff just quickly, and all of a sudden we're experts within a few minutes. I remember when I was young, when Bible doctrines and things would come up where brethren are differing, it would be weeks, if not months, that was taken discussing an issue. And in some cases, years. But now we've weighed in 20 minutes, we've got it all figured out. We know what this says and what that says. That's what's happening, brethren. And that's my concern. My concern is not, do we get a text very quickly? My concern is we are conditioning ourselves to weigh in on matters of eternal consequence very quickly. That's my concern. And we all know that what we believe and what we practice has eternal consequence. And we're gonna base our life and we're gonna hang our life in the judgment on weighing in very quickly on a Facebook conversation. This happened back in 2014. Again, same situation. There were brethren who were saying that we're gonna come back and live on a restored earth. And again, a friend of mine showed me the Facebook thread where one day that was being advocated. And again, within just a few minutes, a bunch of people weighed in on what the Bible teaches about the second coming of Christ and where we're going to live for eternity. And they had not studied that thing. They had not looked at that. They're just weighing in very quickly. And you can look at the timestamp. It's just a few minutes there. And one lady weighed in and she's the wife of a gospel preacher. And she said, my child told me this morning such and such, and I really like what he told me. And that helps me to understand where we're going to live in eternity. And I'm thinking, I like what my kids say too. But that doesn't determine Bible doctrine. And so we're getting into this touchy-feely and weighing quickly, and I think and I feel. And it's because we're in a culture of technology that has made our life quicker, we're now seeing that show up in our personal lives. You know, when we make rash and hasty decisions about weighty matters, we're not talking about some inconsequential matter. We're talking about weighty Bible matters and other kinds of things. We need to take our time. First of all, when we make rash and hasty decisions, it's fallacious. It's false. Truth is not determined by what people say and by what people say very quickly. Truth is determined by what is factual. And if we're talking about biblical truth, it's determined by what the Bible says. To make a rash and hasty decision is fallacious. Why would we want to live our life like that? And yet many people are willing to do that. Not only is it fallacious, but it's irrational. Sound reason demands sufficient evidence. That's why the town clerk is telling everybody, hey, everybody settle down. Let's review the facts. He even goes through some of the stuff, you know, there. It's irrational. We need to slow down and use sound reason to work through this and that, not see how quick we can weigh in on something. And last of all, and probably most important, it's unscriptural. And that's what we're going to see this evening. Do you know that both in the Old and New Testament, we're instructed by God to take our time and get all the facts? Do you know that that's actually a Bible doctrine? And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Both in the Old and New Testament, God is against rash and hasty decisions and judgments and actions. And I thought this evening it would be good to remind ourselves of that because we live in a very hasty and rash world. So let's look at it this evening. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Let's begin our journey looking at this matter this evening. Again, a little bit different topic or a little bit different idea, but I hope it'll be good for us. The Bible talks about, and there's several verses here, but we're going to focus on the book of Proverbs. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. We're not supposed to have rash or hasty words. We say things very quickly. I'm not talking about lies. I'm not talking about four-letter words, profanity. I'm talking about just saying things quickly without thinking about it. And I've done that before. You can just say something very quickly. Proverbs 12:18, there is he that speaketh rashly like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Chapter 13 and verse 3, he that guards his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. 29 and verse 20. 29 and verse 20. Speaking rashly. See a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. We need to slow down. Look at Psalm 106, verse 33 sometime. This is the psalmist's comment about Moses. Do you remember in Numbers chapter 30 when Moses struck the rock and he was not supposed to do that? He was supposed to speak to the rock. Look at Psalm 106, verse 33. The psalmist gives an inspired commentary on that event. He said that Moses spoke rashly. Some versions say inadvisedly or unadvisedly with his lips. Back in Numbers 20, when Moses said, "Hear now, you rebels, will you have us bring water out of this rock?" He was speaking rashly. There's a few things in that statement that we could talk about that would demonstrate his rashness. We won't do that this evening. But the psalmist says that he spoke rashly. The Proverbs also talk about rash or hasty vows. We make a promise for this or that, and we don't think it through. People are doing that all the time today, especially with regard to marriage, and then they just get out of it so easily. It is a snare to a man rashly to say it is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. I promise to do such and such. Now, after I promise to do such and such, I need to ask some questions about what I promise to do. Who would do that? And yet, some people do that. So we quickly sign a contract, we quickly say I do, we quickly put our initials on this or that, and then later I better think this thing through. No, you got that out of order. The Bible talks about rash or hasty plans. Look at chapter 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty hastens only to want. So, slow down. Think it through. A lot of people have these get-rich schemes, and I'm going to make a lot of money doing this, and I'm going to do this real quick, and I'm going to do that real quick. We're going to move over here, and I'm going to buy this. And they just do a bunch of stuff, and it doesn't really work out, and they've got a problem. The Proverbs talk about rash or hasty actions. Look at chapter 19 and verse 2. Chapter 19 and verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge is not good, and he that hastens with his feet sins. Well, that's kind of a problem. Sin would be kind of a problem, right? Chapter 25 and verse 8. 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor has put thee to shame. So, slow down. Not everything in life needs to be fast. Young people, not everything in life needs to be fast. Okay? The Proverbs talk about a rash or hasty spirit and attitude. We would also say quick-tempered. Some versions, instead of the word hasty or rash, will use the words quick-tempered here. In Proverbs 14 and verse 29, he that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. Hasty of spirit. And then the Proverbs talk about rash or hasty judgments. Turn with me to chapter 18 and verse 13. He that gives answer before he hears, it is folly and shame unto him. And that's what's going on. We haven't heard the whole matter. We haven't studied it through. And when you hear something on one hearing, that's not the whole matter. That's just one hearing. You might have to hear some other things. But people want to give an answer without hearing the whole thing through. And it's just folly. And sometimes that is very consequential things in life, especially things that involve our understanding of God's Word and our relationship with God. That's very serious. Look at verse 17. He that pleads his cause first seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. You know, when somebody first speaks up, and this might also be in a court of law or something involving a legal dispute, when somebody first says something, you're thinking, okay, well, that's the way it is. Some of the newer versions actually say, but his neighbor comes and cross-examines him. Some of the newer versions. Oh, now we're getting the full story. You see. Oh, I didn't hear the other part of the story. And that's why we have in a court of law, you don't just simply have one witness come up and say, okay, case closed. We heard all we need to hear. What do we have after that juror comes up? Who then stands up? The other attorney stands up and what? Cross-examines them. Oh, now we're going to hear something else maybe. So that's why we do that. But today there's no cross-examination. Whatever first pops up on our phone, that's what we're running with. Or whatever we first see here or first hear, that's what we're going with. There's been no cross-examination anymore. In this recent matter that I addressed in this article that's in your box back in the spring, there were some brethren who were saying, well, the English word such and such means such and such. Well, okay, that's fine, but the Bible wasn't written in English. The New Testament wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek. And we've got to get back to what those Greek words say. Well, I just feel and I think and It's a serious problem, and I just think we should such and such. Well, we don't base our lives on what we think. We don't base our lives on the Webster's Dictionary. The Webster's Dictionary says that baptism is sprinkling, but that doesn't make it true. So, people get into very quick things, and we've got to learn to slow down. So let's look at some Old Testament principles that you're familiar with. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Let's look at some Old and New Testament principles and then we'll close this evening. Just to remind us that not just the Proverbs are enough to remind us not to do these things, but we're going to look at some Old Testament and New Testament principles. Just to remind us to slow down. Slow down. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, a passage that gets quoted a lot, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." This is with regard to judges. "You shall not follow a multitude to do either, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to turn aside after a multitude to rest or twist judgment." Don't just go along with the crowd. And people do that today. Well, the scholars are saying such and such, and the experts are saying such and such, and this news outlet says this, and this news outlet says that, and I'm just going to go with this and go with that. Political parties say this, and the other political party says that. We need to go with truth. We need to go with facts. With regard to biblical truth, we need to go with what the scriptures say, not with what we think or feel. And we don't go with what's going along with the multitude. And that was, again, the town clerk's point in Acts 19. Many of the townspeople had rushed into the theater there, that open theater. Part of it is still seen today in Ephesus. And they're chanting and they're getting after it. And he says, everybody needs to calm down. Look at the well-known passage in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6 where we learn about at the mouth of two or three witnesses. This shows up twice in the Old Testament and four times in the New Testament. We're very familiar, and we talk about this from time to time when we study our Bible, this statement about at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, what's the whole point of that? What's the whole point of that? You can't just pop up and have one person accuse somebody. Okay, that's it. You've got to have at the mouth of two or three witnesses. You have to have some corroborating evidence. You have to have somebody who's going to substantiate this. We're not just going to take it on a whim, and the first thing that somebody says, that's what we go with. That's a biblical principle. God is basically saying, slow down and get all the evidence. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, shall he that is to die be put to death? At the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. We're not going to do this. One person says it and we believe it. That's a very serious thing. Especially when you're talking about somebody being put to death. So God is saying, let's get all the facts. Let's get some corroborating evidence. Look at chapter 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sins. Don't do it. We're not going to accept that. That's a biblical principle under the law of Moses. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established. We need corroborating evidence and we need to take the time to get the whole story. This is actually repeated as a principle three times in the New Testament with regard to the church. The Hebrews 10:28 passage, the Hebrew writer is referencing this Old Testament law. But Jesus said it's to be practiced in the church, and Paul mentions it, and with regard to elders who sin, 1 Timothy 5:19, the principle is mentioned there as well. You don't just take an accusation against an elder. There needs to be corroborating evidence. That principle Paul borrowed from the Old Testament and Jesus and applies it in the church. So, again, take your time, get the whole story, get corroborating evidence. We're not going to make a rash judgment about this or that. So it's an Old Testament principle. Turn with me now to the New Testament. Let's notice a few things. Turn with me to John chapter 7 and verse 24. The Jews didn't like Jesus healing on the Sabbath day. They had their rules that they thought that he was breaking. Of course, he being God, made the Sabbath day. He's not going to break the Sabbath day. He's not going to break his own day, his own law. They thought he was breaking the Sabbath day. And after one of these run-ins with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says in John 7 and verse 24, this is when he's at one of the feasts there in Jerusalem, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We're very familiar with this verse. Don't assess things just upon the surface or what you see, and that's what's going on today. We see something and then we quickly make an assessment. We hear something and we quickly make an assessment. And Jesus said not to do that. Now later, Turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 45. When the Jews want Jesus gone, the officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never man so spake," and that was certainly true. The Pharisees therefore answered them, "Are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees?" That's the old argumentum ad hominem, where you make an argument to the man. You say, do any of these scholars over here believe that God created the world? You know, do any of these experts, do any of these scholars, they're using that same argument. Do any of the Pharisees believe in Jesus? As if that is the standard by which you go by. "But this multitude knows not the law and are accursed." Well, that was defaming the people. Verse 50, Nicodemus, look at what he says. Nicodemus said unto them, "He that had come to him before, being one of them," underscore this in your Bible, "does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and know what he does?" And we use that today in our jurisprudence. We let a man, if he so chooses, to speak for himself. We're not going to make an assessment about Jesus until we hear from him. Our law demands that. No, they wanted a quick assessment, and let's get rid of Jesus. Nicodemus is saying, no, we got to follow the rules. And the rules are there in place for fairness and justice and equity and that which is proper and right. Slow down. At least we've got to hear from him. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the very well-known passage about the Bereans were more noble. Do you remember that passage? The American Standard says they were more noble or noble-minded. The Greek word there literally means of noble birth or born to nobility, but it became something that meant more than just where you came from, your race or your genetics. It came to mean someone who was of noble mind, someone who is thinking properly and carefully. And it's explained by the rest of the verse. They examine the scriptures daily. With readiness of mind, they examine the scriptures daily. So what made them noble was not their strict, literal, noble heritage, like they came from royalty. That's what the word originally meant. It meant someone who's thinking and has a mind that wants to hear everything and hear all of the facts. And so they hear Paul preach and they examine the scriptures to see if what he is saying is so. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they thought better about how we're going to assess this. We're going to slow down. We're going to listen to what he's saying. Then we're going to check it out with the scriptures and go from there. That's what the nobleness means there. The way their mind and their heart is thinking about what Paul is saying and then examining that and testing that and looking at that. In Thessalonica, in contrast, many heard Paul and immediately, you know, wanted to run him out of town and assault the home of Jason. The scripture reading that Levi had earlier in Acts chapter 19, this town clerk, very wise man, very wise man. He says, "You should do nothing rash," verse 36. Demetrius gets all stirred up. He gets his fellow craftsmen stirred up. They don't like that Paul has been preaching against their idolatry. They're crying out. More people from town, verse 28 and following, they run into the theater there. They're crying out. Great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians. It's basically a mob-type riot. And look at verse 32. This is one of my favorite verses, and I almost chuckle every time I read it. "Therefore one cried one thing, and some cried another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together." They're shaking their head. You just visualize them running into the theater. This is terrible. And you look over your friend. Why are we here? I don't know why we're here, but just keep yelling. Great is God, you know, Diana, goddess of the Ephesians. Just keep yelling it. I don't know why we're here. That's what the text says. They didn't know why they were there. But there's a there's a crowd and there's a riot and let's get in on it. We're not doing that physically today, but we could be doing it with our phone, in a sense. And so he says, among a number of wise things, he says, do nothing rash. He says, listen guys, if this is a real problem, number one, the courts are open. Take it up in the courts. And number two, we have a general assembly that can also handle these kind of things. But everybody needs to disperse and cool it because we are in trouble. We are in danger of getting in trouble. And that would be with the Romans. Do nothing rash. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. You know, a principle of love is to slow down and think about things and consider things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is not talking about, well, I believe error or I believe lies. But it is talking about that proper love will be magnanimous and generous and kind and be willing to listen and consider all of the things that need to be considered. We're not going to quickly jump to conclusions. We're going to give someone the benefit of the doubt. So bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things, implies a longer attitude in dealing with a situation. Not a quick attitude. It implies getting all the information, considering everything that is being said. Paul is not saying love is gullible, but he is saying love is willing to take the time to hear everything and give people the benefit of the doubt. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5:22. This principle, it's not just an Old Testament principle, it's a New Testament principle as well. I'm applying it today to this modern technology issue, but it's a New Testament principle. Lay hands hastily on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. In the New Testament, laying hands on someone was a physical act, but it also meant that you were identifying with this person. I'm siding with this person, I'm identifying, I'm supportive of them. Paul uses it earlier in chapter 4 with the presbytery or the eldership that laid their hands on Timothy. This is someone we condone, this is someone we support, this is someone that we identify with. And Paul told Timothy, don't do that hastily. And maybe we've been guilty of that. Maybe that's happened. That's happened a few times in my life. You quickly side with someone. I'm going to quickly befriend someone. I'm going to quickly agree with someone. And then you find out later they got a problem in their life and you're backing up like, I don't want to be a part of that. So we need to slow down. Lay hands hastily on no man. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. And we're coming down to the close of our lesson. Just a couple more passages. In the great passage that describes perilous or grievous times. And this first few verses here reads like today's newspaper. But look at 2 Timothy 3, all of these terrible things that are going on. Look at verse 4. The American Standard says traitors, and then look at the second word, the second English word in that verse. The American Standard says headstrong. Some of the newer versions say rash or rashness. The Greek word is used only two times in the New Testament, and the other time is Acts 19:36, where the town clerk said, do nothing rash. The Greek word literally means to fall forward, to be falling forward. And so the older versions, like the King James, American Standard, some of the older versions used headstrong because that's the direction in which you're falling, toward your head. Today, the English word headstrong often means stubborn, self-willed, hard-headed. But that's not what the word is here. The word is rash. And that's, in my judgment, a better translation there. Now, to the credit of those who used that English word headstrong, some of the older versions had headlong. When you rush headlong into something, that actually meant to do something very quickly. So even the idea of headstrong many, many years ago could have meant this idea of you're falling forward towards something, and that then became known as somebody who was doing something rashly or quickly. But the English word rash today is the idea there. It's not the idea of hard-headed. It's the idea of rashness. And that is one of several indications here, Paul says, of grievous times. You get people acting rashly and irrationally, and it's causing problems. You look back at that riot in Acts 19, they were going after Paul, and some of his friends said, don't go in there. People can get hurt with rashness. People can believe the wrong thing and have eternal consequences because of rashness. It's very serious. And then last of all, not only does John say in 1 John 4:1, test the spirits, but look at that verse again. He just says up front, believe not every spirit. That just says it right there. You can't believe everything you see and hear. You're going to have to take some time to test that. Well, that takes time. It takes time to listen and test things. And people are not wanting to do that today. It's very sad, in my opinion, to see brethren going back and forth quickly, very quickly, making decisions about what the Bible teaches about this or that. Within 20 minutes, we've got it all figured out. Really? You've read every context. You have studied all of the Greek words. You have considered all of the Bible passages on that in 20 minutes. Really? Brethren, I am all for technology that makes our life quicker and simpler and more convenient. Let's continue to enjoy those things. I never was in the days of the carrier pigeon, and so I don't want to go back there. But when we're talking about things today that are conditioning us to make rash judgments and rash plans and rash actions and assessments of individuals, and especially rash Bible study, then that's a serious thing. I hope that this has helped us. A little bit different, maybe, but it does address a modern cultural situation. I really enjoyed my time in Ghana. However, one thing I did not enjoy was riding in the back of a car with an individual with no hands on the wheel going very fast. I did not enjoy that. In fact, it bothered me so much one day that I spoke up and I said, you need to stop that. That's how serious I was about it. They don't have the laws that we have where you're not allowed to talk on your phone and drive at the same time, and they do it all day long, and they do it at high speeds. Now, if you want to do that on your own time, that's your business. Let me get out of the car first. You got people all over the road, vendors, potholes, massive trucks coming, people darting out, and you don't have any hand on the wheel, and you're driving really fast. I've got a problem with that. So one day I spoke up and said something about that. But my point with that is that we're conditioning ourselves, well, I can multitask, and I can do this, and I can do that, and distraction is causing a big problem. And wanting things convenient is causing a big problem. Wanting things quick and convenient and fast. And there's just some things in life where it's best to slow down. And God even says that in both Testaments. He gives us principles where He's basically saying, slow down. Slow down. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. And this song talks about in the judgment day, will we hear our name being called on the side of the righteous. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Will we be called to be on the right hand or on the left hand? If we're not right with God this evening, I would encourage us to do that. The water is ready. We can assist you in being baptized into Christ, if there's someone here this evening as a child of God who needs to come back in some way, we can help you with that as well. Let's take the time to be right with God. That's what's most important in life. If we can help you to do that, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.